He said, though your sins are as scarlet, God is able to cleanse us. He says here, and though I will make them as white as snow. God is saying, you've sinned against me, but I'm ready to forgive you. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've strayed away from me, but when you go wash, and when you repent, and when you have acknowledged that you've done wrong, God is ready to forgive us. He said, I'll wash you. Yeah, you were stained. The sins was scarlet. But I'll make you white as snow. He says, though you had all of that written on your account, God say, I'll wipe the slate clean. So he says here, he says, go wash. And he says, and I will make your sins as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. And when you think about crimson, that's not quite a bright red as this. But it's sort of like that red when that blood done dried a little bit in there. It done stained that garment. And anybody know when you stain, when you put blood, then blood stains. And you don't immediately take care of that. See, when you don't immediately go and repent. See, when you don't take care of that bitterness, it begins to take stain. It begins to stain. It stains your character. Look. It begins to stain our character. We don't walk the way we used to walk before God. When that blood begins to stain, when it stains our character, we don't say what we used to say. The joy of the Lord is not there anymore. The psalmist says, ask God to restore the joy of my salvation. Because sin, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of being in the presence of God. And so he says, though your sins are red like crimson, he said, I will make them white as wool. I'm willing to heal you. And I'm willing to forgive you. He says, if you will only obey me, then you will have plenty to eat in the land. And I don't know about you, Mount Olive, but every now and then I got to look at myself. Yeah. I have to take a look at myself. And like Isaiah, I says to the Lord, woe it is me, God. I have done wrong in thy sight. My sins are ever before you, God. Wash me, God. Purge me with your hyssop. Wash me that I might be clean. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me the right spirit. And I heard him say, what can wash away our sin? Somebody say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will minister to us now. Let us go into the scripture and let the scripture go into us. Do in them and through us what you desire. Lord, we pray that when we shall have heard from you, that we will not turn deaf ears, that we'll have receptive hearts and minds, that we will hear and apply the principles, and that we'll practice them and profit from them and be most assuredly geared to give you all praise, not keeping any for ourselves, for we know you are worthy. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. And the writer of the Hebrews is dealing with verses 5 through 8, a warning against those who rebel and fall away from God. And he picks up in verse 9 by saying, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. But we see Jesus. I want to remind us as brothers and sisters of the faith how it is important for us to have a personal experience and understanding not only of the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, but the witness of God. To be able to say for yourself, I see Jesus. Collectively, we see Jesus. There ought to be in the house of believers more than just one of us who see Jesus. It's important to understand when Paul dealt with a corporate setting, he was dealing with the believers who had that experience, and certainly to inspire those who desire and would have that experience. But he knew that there were some who had already obtained that experience. And so he uses that we, just like he does in Romans 8:28, when he says, and we know that all things work together, etc. It's because he's got some witnesses. And my brothers and sisters, when we begin to think of our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we begin to understand how the writer of the Hebrews is trying to get the believers to understand that we have got to uphold the high standard of God, how we cannot be rebellious and turn away from God, how we cannot be with him today and against him tomorrow, how we cannot act as if we belong to God, but act like we're children of the enemy. We've got to be careful of the fact that we have a better covenant and a better witness, verses 1 through 4 shares with us. And so it's important to understand that what keeps us in line, what brings us back in focus, is the fact that we see Jesus. In other words, because we are human, there is a natural side that factors in everything we do. But because we belong to God, there is a spiritual side that factors in everything we do. And there must be a balance in order for us to live life to its highest standard while we are here on earth. And so, unlike those who rebel against him, about those who act like, and you know, one thing about church folk is church folk can show enough act. Church folk can pretend. Church folk can perform. Church folk are some of the best actors on planet Earth in church. But just watch them outside of church. Listen to their conversations outside of church. You'll discover that a whole lot of church folk are rebellious against the realities of God. But when you see Jesus for yourself, it don't matter what others are doing, you're accountable to God. You're accountable to the higher things of God. You walk circumspect because of who you are and whose you are and because of who you see. In other words, there is a scale on the inside of your spiritual man that balances you. When the devil pulls you one way and it's the wrong way, it's the dark way, it's the way that is of this world, you have another side pulling you the right way and sharing with you and showing you the light. And listen, it's all because of your personal relationship with Jesus. So when the word starts off, but we see Jesus, the writer is changing his focus from the rebellious to the righteous. And he's talking about the redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And what's so wonderful about that is this one verse explains about Jesus, what he came here to do. And he says, but we see. This very word, see, in a deeper sense of the word, and one of the definitions is we discover, we experience Jesus. It literally means to see with the eyes of the mind. We don't see Jesus with our natural eyes, our bodily eyes. Anybody who say they see Jesus like that is seeing the wrong Jesus. They're looking at Jesus. Y'all catch that on your way home. Because it's been over 2,000 some years that the real Jesus in the earth form and walked in this earth realm has been seen. So you can only see him in the spirit realm or in the eyes of the mind. And so when you see that, then you begin to understand, as he's showing us some important things about this, it's important to understand another way of saying this, but we discovered Jesus. We, through our eyes of our mind, see him the way God wants us to see him, the way his word reveals him. You see, you have got to get in the spiritual realm in order to experience spiritual things. You can't stay in this earthly frame of thinking and expect that you're going to get spiritual revelation. That's why it's important that we understand John 4:24 says God is a spirit. They that worship him must do it how? In spirit and in truth. And so therefore you got to understand the spiritual realities and the spiritual kingdom must be utilized and operated in the spirit of God. And so that's why many folk can't see Jesus, because they're looking for him with natural eyes. But we see Jesus. I'm going to come back there because I'm not through with that, but I want to move on just to help us a little further. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, one of the things that's important for us to understand that is if you see Jesus, then you have a better view and understanding of what he's talking about. Jesus, as the Son of God, is deity. Jesus, as Son of Man, is humanity. He had to let go of the deity in order to take on the humanity, because the deity couldn't suffer and die. So he had to let the deity go, leave it in heaven, come down in the earth form, take on human flesh, be born of a man so that he might be the Son of Man, live with sin yet without sinning, and be in his humanity so that he could beat Satan at his own game. He was made a little lower than the angels, given this earthly form so that he could suffer and die. He suffered and died, but he sinned not. Listen at this now. Angels did not sin. They did not die. They were spiritual beings. So God had to make him a little lower than angels so that he would have the human qualities of man. Now, listen at this. He was born of a virgin without the help of a man. But yet he came through the same operation of men born of the flesh. But it's important to understand God had to orchestrate it this way so that he would be as fleshly as you and I are, so much so that he would deal with everything you and I had and have and will deal with, so that he could touch and identify with our every situation, our every circumstance, our every trial, our every temptation, everything that we deal with. Jesus knows all about it, and he is able to represent us because he can say, Father, been there, but I didn't do that. I know what they're dealing with. I know what they're feeling in the flesh. Don't think for one minute that Jesus was not subjected to everything that you've been subjected to. That's what makes him such a great high priest, who is able to identify with what you're going through. Listen, nobody knows the troubles I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. There's some things I've gone through you've not gone through. But there's nothing I've gone through he hadn't gone through. So when he was made a little lower than the angels, listen, so that he could suffer and die. So how do we see him? We see him by faith. We have to have faith in him to see him. We have to have faith in him to understand him. So we see Jesus by faith. Tell your neighbor, we see Jesus by faith. Listen, if you did not see him by faith, you didn't see him. I don't care who you are and what you say. If it's not by faith, you have not seen Jesus. This verse just gets through telling us he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. By faith, I believe that God sent him down. He took on the human flesh and he stepped in the place that was meant for me. And what he went through, he suffered a suffering that I could not suffer at the most and best of me. And that's why Paul kept saying, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, because that's just something you learn about a person when you go through their sufferings. You find out what people are made of when they suffer. You find out how real their faith is when they suffer. You understand whether or not they're truly convicted and rooted and grounded when they suffer. And so by faith, I believe he suffered and died for me. And it's only by faith that I'm able to enter into this truth, because I wasn't there. So faith, I see him by faith. But the next part says, crowned with what? Glory and honor. Now, listen at this. He's crowned with glory and honor because he suffered and died. Some of y'all didn't get that connection. He didn't get crowned with glory and honor till he suffered and died. This was a crown of glory and honor that none other could have, because none other could do what he did. And so God crowns him with glory and with honor. And so we see him, number two, when we focus our adoration on him. God adorned him with a crown of glory and honor. And I begin to see him now in a whole different light. Not as a crucified Lord only, but as a risen Savior. I begin to see him as Lord. He, the living Lord. I begin to see and understand him in a whole different light now. And because he's Lord of all, I understand that he is the resurrection and the life. I understand that what he said in his word, that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask the Father what he will and he'll do it. Because of who Jesus is and my connection to him. Now, listen, how else do I see him? I see him first through faith. I see him secondly by focusing on his adoration, on his adornment of God, crowning him with glory and with honor as that of only one man. None other could be crowned with glory and honor like Jesus. None other could God have called, spoken, commissioned to do what Jesus did. None other had the privilege of being able to be the Savior of mankind. None other could be the only begotten of the Father and then be the Son of Man. And so he's crowned with glory and honor. Listen, you can't help but give him his due when you see him. When you see what he went through on Calvary and then 3 days later, when you see him as he is and see him as he was and see him as he shall be. Listen, you can't help but rejoice. Can't help but praise him. Can't help but give him glory. Can't help but honor him, because he is Lord alone. How else do I see him? I see him through faith. I see him through focus. But I also see him through fellowship. How do I do that? Because the Bible says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, the fact that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for whosoever will. The fact that Jesus died not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile, for the sinner, for every man whose heart beat with red blood flowing through it. Jesus Christ died for all. For every man. There is no one group of people who can own Jesus as their own exclusively, because when he went to his own received him not. And thus, the invitation was extended to whosoever will. And so as a result, now it's a part of my acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him that brings me to the place where now I have fellowship with him through his sufferings and through the fact that he's paid a price for me that I could not pay for myself. The reason why he tasted death, and that word taste also means experience, the reason he did it was because death wasn't the only thing he had for me. He had to experience death for me so I could also experience what he had after death, and that was resurrection. So he had to experience death. And not only after he died, he had to get up to become the first fruits of them that slept, so that when I die, I too can be raised from the dead. So that means now, because I have relationship with him and have fellowship with him, I don't die when I die. I sleep. That's why when Jesus went to folk like Jairus' daughter and they were talking about she was dead, Jesus said, "Nah, the damsel is just sleep." When he delayed his coming back to Lazarus and didn't hurry, he told the disciples, "Listen, Lazarus is sleep." Well, the disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he does well." Jesus said, "Let me help you understand. By your standards, he's dead. But by my standards, he's asleep. The reason I know he's asleep is because when I get there, I'm going to wake him." Come on here, somebody. And oh, I'm glad. That one day when you get the news that John Montgomery is dead, I want you to say, "The devil is a liar. He's just asleep, because Jesus has already promised me that he would wake me up and I'll be more alive at that time than I am right now." Come on, give him a shout of glory, somebody. That's all. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, if you can just see Jesus.
Yeah.